Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sandra Sanchez. How you doing, man?
Doing good, baby. Ready for the weekend football.
I know. And yesterday, I saw a little football myself on a Thursday. It was so beautiful. It was very nostalgic. And I also watched that Field of Dreams game yesterday. But for me, it was more like Field of Nightmares. But we're going to get there, though. I'll get there, bro. I'm going to start, like you said yesterday, with some football, because yesterday the Patriots faced off against the Washington football team, and it was nice to see the Patriots back in action. And Cam Newton had a rough start. You know, he took a rough strip sack from I forgot the kid's name, from Chase Young. From Washington, and strip sack, lost the ball there early, had a rough start, and then Mac Jones came in and he played efficiently. You know, he had a solid night, didn't really do anything to wow us like that, but had an efficient night nonetheless. But the guy that stole the show, Sander, oh my God, the rookie receiver, Ramondre Stevenson. Listen, he would have been the fantasy player of the day yesterday. 10 carries, 127 for 2 touchdowns. And listen, if you want to get Bill Belichick's eye and try to make this team come week one, doing things like that, Sander, is one way to try to get yourself a roster spot. But listen, for the Patriots, running backs in the depth chart is pretty deep. They got Damian Harris. They got Sonny Michel. They got James White. So good luck to this kid. I hope he gets in, because that play yesterday was very electric and it was the highlight of the night. But nonetheless, Sander, Mac Jones looks solid. But you think he has a chance to be the week one starter over Cam?
No, not a chance right now. And that's no disrespect to Mac Jones, because the kid is talented. There's a lot of raving going on about him. But as far as starting week one over Cam Newton, no. And Bill Belichick has straight up announced that Cam Newton is the starter. So until further notice, there's no reason to think otherwise. You know, Bill Belichick is known for keeping the veteran guys, to make sure that the veteran guys are getting the love, because, you know, they know how to play. They have the experience, and they just revamped that offense. Yes, they revamped that offense and drafted Mac Jones, but they revamped that offense to see what Cam Newton can do healthy again, and with a team with more weapons around them. You know, they got better at wide receiver with Bourne and Hunter Henry and you know, Jonnu Smith. So they added really good offensive weapons. They drafted well. So this is for Cam Newton, JJ. There's no way that Mac Jones is going to come in and start week one over a former MVP caliber, over an MVP player.
That was a long time ago, Sandra.
I know. It's not the Cam Newton that we once saw. But listen, Cam Newton, through the stuff that he went through last season, and I'm going to keep it a buck, Jay. That strip sack, yes, you know, it was ugly, but that was all on the left tackle. The left tackle just completely couldn't handle Chase Young whatsoever on that play.
Yeah, and it's Chase Young.
And I'm not gonna put too much on Cam Newton for that. But still, nonetheless, Jay, it's week one. I mean, he could light it up all the way to the end of the preseason. What is it, week three preseason games? But I still believe that Bill Belichick, until he announces or he says anything about Cam Newton becoming the starter, Mac Jones becoming the starter, we don't have no reason to think otherwise, guys, because at the end of the day, Bill Belichick is who runs this team. What he says goes. He's not one of these guys. The Patriots aren't this type of organization where there's always leaks going on. I mean, there was, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, abysmal organizations that always have leaks. The Patriots don't have that that issue, because everything runs through Bill Belichick. If you're going to hear it, you're going to hear it through Bill's mouth. Yep. And what have we heard? That Cam is.
Yeah, nonetheless, Sam, I see you having difficulties, so I'm just going to take over for there. But, yeah, no, I agree. I feel like the time where we're going to see Mac Jones really depends on how long Cam Newton can keep his performance up to par, because if Cam Newton play as well, there's no reason for Mac Jones to see the field. But if he is performing bad, then you're going to have Belichick begin to say, like, hey, let me explore another option. Yeah. And I will say this. Look, Mac Jones did play pretty well last night. You know, he did go 13 for 19, but he only had 87 yards, Sanders. So what does that tell me? You're thinking and thinking, and everybody who watched the game knows that it was just that. It was classic Patriots football, where you're hitting the running backs and you're hitting the tight end with the short route. And it looked very Tom Brady-esque. I'm not going to say it was Brady-esque, but I'm just saying it looked like the system. It looked like what we were used to with the Josh McDaniels system, which is clearly different when you got a guy like Cam. He can't do the same throws that a guy like Mac Jones is able to do. But nonetheless, you know, I think Mac Jones did play well. I think that his accuracy and his arm actually looked well. And I think what made it look better, Sanders, to me, the reason why it looked better is because I feel like I didn't see, like, Cam's arm didn't blow me away yesterday. So seeing Mac Jones throw it, maybe call it above average, just made it look so much better because Cam just doesn't seem to have that same arm that Mac Jones has at the moment.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, Jay, the talent is there with Mac Jones. Mac Jones has all the talent. He does. He was one of the more accurate quarterbacks coming out of his class. So that there's no issue there. When it comes to talent-wise of throwing the ball, Mac Jones has Cam Newton. But still, I still believe that the veteranship that Cam Newton possesses, the experience, and the fact that Bill Belichick revamped this offense to give Cam and brought back Cam Newton, you know, he brought him back for a reason. So to start week one, no. Will I think that Mac Jones has the potential to maybe actually start during the season and take over the job? Of course. But like you said, that's all depending if Cam Newton doesn't play up to par. Reason being, last season he went through a lot of stuff, went through COVID, and they still managed to win 7 games. Whereas if things would have went the other way, you know, a fumble here doesn't happen, a fumble there doesn't happen, they could have had maybe a wild card spot. But still, that's why I still believe Cam Newton should be and will be starting week one. There's no reason to throw Mac Jones into the fire yet. When Brady got drafted, the GOAT Brady, he didn't start week one, okay? So let the – and I'll go to an even more recent event. Pat Mahomes didn't start week one, okay? So let's just let this brew. Let the master work. Bill Belichick is a master. Let him work in the kitchen, bro. It's only week one of the preseason. No reason. Yes, it was phenomenal to see his accuracy, but – Can we see that against the starters? Can we see how he plays against the starters first? Maybe he'll play against a few starters in week two of the preseason. But I just feel like he's still raw. The talent is there, but I still feel like, you know how in Madden you need to have like at least 400, 500 starts before you can unlock their badge? It's kind of like with Mac Jones. You kind of got to, like, build him up.
You need a bigger sample size.
100%, because JJ, straight up, he came out – yes, he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks coming out of his class, right?
But he was the most accurate.
But, you know, let's just say, you know, Alabama was a stacked team.
Alabama,
You know what I'm saying? Alabama was a stacked team. So at the end of the day, I want to see what Mac Jones – I'm rooting for the kid. I'm very excited for the Patriots because, like I said, Bill Belichick spent everybody's stimmy. If you're still waiting for it, don't wait for it no more because it's already gone. But still, Jay, I still think that Cam Newton has the week one job. It just wouldn't look normal Bill Belichick-ish to start a rookie week one. And yes, I know the rule is when you draft that first rounder, it's mostly because you need him to start. But you got Cam Newton back for a reason. If Cam Newton starts to stick up the joint and you start seeing the old Cam Newton that we've seen the most recent years, then, of course, it's probably time for mac and cheese. But until then, until Bill Belichick comes out the mouth and say, Mac Jones will be starting such and such week.
How about
– let's just chill.
You just gave me the idea of something. Kraft's mac and cheese, because it's Robert Kraft. It's his mac and cheese, right?
Hey,
I don't know. Maybe we came up with something there. I don't know.
Maybe we did.
Who knows? Nonetheless, and I do agree. You know, at the moment, you got to give it to Cam. Obviously, he's just a more seasoned guy at the moment. So I would give him the nod at the moment for sure because I liked what I saw from Mac Jones. I feel like what he did yesterday, you know, I think it will translate even when he does get snapped against the first stringers because I will take that to account. He got a lot of time against the second string guys. Third string guys, because he ended up playing most of the second quarter and some into the third. I want to say he might have actually finished the third, and I believe he pulled him out for the fourth quarter last night. But you got to take a comment. You're right. Second string guys, to see how you do against actual NFL players are going to be, you know, out there playing for status, playing for their paychecks, playing for their mortgages. So that's something that he's yet to actually experience. You know, he will experience that at some point in the regular season, because I made the point to you that, you know, his appearance in the NFL come week one, week six, whenever it may be, is really going to merit on what Cam does. Because, like I said, if Cam plays well, no reason to see Mac. But, you know, you drafted him 15 overall, Sander. You're right. You do have that necessity at the quarterback. You got Tom Brady and Tampa Bay already winning championships, which is highlighting the need that you have at quarterback. Because we all knew that Cam Newton's a rental. He's in his second year, and I don't think nobody was surprised, because I feel like it's a good fit. It's, you know, but it doesn't seem like it's the long-term fit, Sander. Thus, Mac Jones. You know what I mean? And what I think that Mac Jones delivers, and I think that he will deliver coming against some of those first-ring guys, is that touch of the ball. Because as long as he has a pocket that can protect him, it just translates. It's not like he has to catch up to the speed of the game, because he's not an athletic guy. He's not like Kyler Murray, who got selected number one overall out of Oklahoma. We all knew that smaller guy, had to see how his speed was going to measure up to some of the pros. And shout out to Kyler Murray. He has great instincts. I think he's still a really good player, even at the NFL player. I'm very excited to see what Arizona does this upcoming year with him. But Mac Jones, got to get accustomed to what the NFL is. And I just feel like the prerequisite skill set that he brings doesn't diminish in the NFL.
100%. And to touch on a few other young guys that, you know, are going to be this young guy I'm going to be looking at real closely, and that's Zach Wilson from the New York Jets. Because my man, talking about being thrown to the wolves, he doesn't have a Cam Newton to rely on, or he doesn't even have a Fitzmagic to rely on to, you know, help him be a pro. He's going to basically put on the gloves and fight the heavyweights, and he's an amateur.
Isn't that such classic New York Jets?
100%. And then to expect him to be the holy grail, I feel like, listen, man, you guys are going to see deer in a headlight. You're going to just see the worst out of it. It's scary. It really is.
Yeah, I think that Zach Wilson at Foxborough, I'm not sure which week that is, but I would definitely check the schedule, because I want to see it. Because you already know, Bill Belichick preys on rookie quarterbacks every single time. There's been very few rookies that have beaten Bill Belichick. One of those rookies actually is one Cam Newton. Beat him back in the day on that Cam Newton rookie year. But, yeah, Sander, you know, I'm very excited to see how this whole quarterback controversy in New England is going to turn out.
Yeah, well, you might not, you know, have to wait too much for Mac Jones, because maybe Bill Belichick will be playing with his rookie quarterback against a rookie quarterback. You never know.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, because we all know that Bill Belichick has to be the guy that says, I told you so. So maybe he has something to Mac Jones that we just don't know. But Sander, I do want to transition to MLB, because like I said, yesterday was the Field of Dreams game. But like I said, for me, it was more like a Field of Nightmares, my friend. And it was like a classic MLB event. I thought it was such a cool event for the baseball in general, because, you know, it's based off a movie, the whole event. And I'll be one to admit, I put it on my to-do list this weekend, because I have to watch this movie after the game, and the way that it turned out, because it just turned out to be a Hollywood script. You know, Jose Abreu started off the night in the first inning, hitting the first home run to the corn, which I thought was so cool. Everybody couldn't wait to see a home run land in the corn, and he did it. And Aaron Judge did it not only once, but twice, and then he did it in the ninth inning with a guy on base to make it look like, oh, the Yankees got a chance, Sander. The Yankees got a chance. They just down one now after a slam. And then a couple batters later, here comes Giancarlo Stanton with a guy on base as well. And boom, the Yankees are up by one in the top of the ninth. And you're like, yes, this is such a Yankees moment. We're about to go turning in the right direction. And then here came Tim Anderson. And he said, let me walk it off in style. And he hit a home run that broke all Yankee fans' hearts. And it was so. But it was amazing. They shot off the fireworks. And like I said, Sander, listen, Tim Anderson came out himself. He said, listen, I didn't watch this movie. But little did he know that he just created the most awesome sequel to a classic movie ever. But like I said, this game was just an emotional roller coaster for me. I personally enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a great event for the MLB. You know what I mean? I feel like the MLB has really tried to put themselves out there. How can we better the MLB? How can we put baseball, you know, up there with the NFL, the NBA? And I feel like doing something like this definitely helped. I enjoyed it, even in a loss, Sander. But nonetheless, did Chicago win this one, or did the Yankees blow it?
It was a beautiful event, I will say, Jay. It was really nice to see the throwback jerseys He's like, I remember playing MLB The Show when they unlocked the, when you would lock the historic teams, you could play with their classic jerseys. Oh, it was beautiful to watch. But then we'll get right down to the damn business, man. Because you know what? I do say something very often. Two things can be right. And that's the situation that we have here. Both the Yankees did lose it, and Chicago just straight up won it. Because how many times, Jay, because I've lost count. I lost count how many times this season the Yankees have a lead, and they blow it. Then they get the lead again, and then they blow it again. They're the most inconsistent, consistent losers on the planet.
The Yankees have allowed 5 walk-off home runs this season, which is the most in the MLB.
Listen, my man, and thank you for mentioning that, JJ, because it's going to segue to a point that I'm going to make. Our issue for a while has been
our issue, he says. Now you're a Yankee fan again. No, I don't want to hear it.
Te calla.
No, you're a Sox fan. Don't try that. Go ahead, though.
The problem with the Yankees has always been was their bats get cold. Their starting pitching isn't good. But we always had that bullpen. Those arms, that closer, we had it. Yeah. When we had a lead going into the later innings, it was curtains for most teams. Yeah. And yes, Joe, I understand, though, not everybody's Mariano Rivera. I get that. Not everybody's the GOAT. Not everybody's Hoffman. I understand that. But can we get some damn consistency from our closing pitching? Some sort of closing respectability? Because it's literally, when it comes to that 7th, 8th, and 9th, teams basically get up because they know they can win the game. They know we don't have that sure guy, because even Chapman, the great arm that Chapman is, even he, it's really a toss-up. Will he close it, or will someone smack a home run off of him? And more times than I would like to see, he's blowing the lead. And it's not just him. It's the entire bullpen. It's literally a problem that we didn't have before. So the fact that we're all of a sudden this year, the fact that we allowed the most walk-offs we're not even 75% done with the season yet. So it's like, it's more to come.
Yeah.
It's more to come. Unless the Yankees pitching just straight up hits that switch, which I think is most likely unlikely, because like I said, they're so inconsistent consistently that I don't feel like the Yankees will be able to muster up enough wins to make a dominant run. Because JJ, yes, the Yankees can make the playoffs, but do you legitimately think that with their team, they're a threat to the top dogs? Absolutely not. If anything, they would be the weakest team in the playoffs. Like, you think about teams in the NFL that make it to the playoffs with bad records and get that home game, and it's like, damn, like, why are you even here? Like, remember the year the Seattle Seahawks made it the losing record, or was it 7-9? The Panthers? That's the Yankees going into the playoffs this season.
Stop it. They're at least over 500. Don't even do that.
I get that, but they don't put fear in no one's heart. Like, it's not like the Houston Astros. Granted, they were cheaters, but still, the Houston Astros, even today, they walk into parks and they put a little bit of fear into teams because they know the potential. Teams get up for us. The damn White Sox are one of the top teams in the damn American League. When was the last time we said that? The Yankees have fallen off this cliff where irrelevancy is where they're relevant. They're literally in no man's land. We're just coasting on 27 championships, acting lackadaisical, no push, no drive, where I feel like if the big man George Steinbrenner was still alive, this would not be going on. This mentality of, hey, I'm on the Yankees, I'm getting paid no matter what. I remember I saw a meme the other day where Giancarlo Stanton, since he's been on the Yankees, has struck out more times than the guy Gwynn from the Toronto Blue Jays did in his 20-year career. Could you imagine that? It's to the point, Jay, where
Giancarlo is better, so it don't matter.
I mean, listen, when you're striking over 1,000 times in three seasons, are you really that much better of a...
Yeah, but Coy never won an MVP. So,
I mean, he won back-to-back World Series, and he was key part of those Toronto championships.
I mean,
Giancarlo hasn't sniffed the accolades that Tony Gwynn has.
I get it, but for you to say that he's not the caliber of Giancarlo Stanton is, I get it. Yeah, sure, you were part of a championship-caliber team. Lucky you. Sure, you contributed. But nobody at the park is going to grab him before Giancarlo. So I'm going to defend Giancarlo.
I think there's a lot of people that would grab Gwynn before they grab Giancarlo Stanton, because Gwynn won't strike out as many times as Stanton will, and he will produce like Stanton, just not give you the
51. I ain't one of them.
Listen, you on the short list of people that would pick Stanton over Tony Gwynn Jr. That's crazy. But still, Jay, the Yankees are to the point where it's whatever, man. They're not going to scare nobody. This type of game is what you're going to see more times than not, and that's why the Yankees will not go far in the playoffs if they make it.
Yeah, and I think that's really what stinks most for this Yankees loss. You know, not only did you have the primetime game, and you had it at the top of the ninth, you were up by one, and really this loss really just mostly falls on Zach Britton, because you do prime yourself being one of the top 10 closers in this league, you know, and you couldn't get the job done last night. You walked the guy and then set up the walk-off, and that was just a tough L, especially when the team came through for you. This team came through in the ninth. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, the dream scenario that this Yankees team has dreamt of, having both these guys do what they did yesterday. This is the Yankees' best-case scenario. This is what they will want their guys to do. To both of them hit two-run home runs in the ninth inning to give them the lead after being down. That's exactly what you want, and it sucks that they blew it. But for that reason, I don't want to overreact to it, because they had it. And what they would have been if they would have lost 9-4, 9-5, but they had it, and they blew it. And, yes, it hurts more, Sander. I agree. And you're right. The standard of the Yankees is not to make the playoffs. It's to go to the playoffs and go far and go win a championship, because we've been close enough that 27 championship caliber. You're absolutely right about that. But they need to make noise. And this team is capable of that. They showed you how exciting they could be late in that game last night. But you got to be more consistent, especially when the guys like Boston are falling off. And you're only two games behind Boston when they were 1,000 games behind. When they were 1,000 games ahead of you, it would have seemed like a couple months ago. So, that to me, that's what really hurts. It's just the fact that they lost the game in big style when things are going their way and they're just not capitalizing.
It's literally the equivalent of wasting a 40-point triple-double in the NBA Finals. It's not like the caliber of game. I know it's a regular season game, but JJ, these are the type of games that start momentum. This is the beginning of the game for the series. You're starting off. Damn, what a heartbreaker like that. Yes, you guys were in the game, but do you expect another night, encore from Judge and Stanton to do that? That was your chance. I mean, it could happen, but the likelihood of that happening is not that great. So the fact that you could, man, you had every right to win that game. Britton, you had every chance to win that game, man.
He got to take that L.
You really do, and you're going to get looked at sideways, and you have to accept it, because when you waste a performance from Judge like that, you know, and Stanton, because you touched it, every time we go into playoffs, either or is hot and cold. It's either Stanton's hot and Judge is cold, or Judge is hot and Stanton's cold. They're never on point. You know what I'm saying? Just recently last year, what happened? Giancarlo Stanton was hot, and Judge was striking out every three at-bats. So, listen, if there's one thing for sure, Yankees, big bat striking out, and you putting on your underpants in the morning, it's going to happen. But when you have games like that, bro, you can't waste them. Because, like I said, it's like wasting a 40-point, 50-point triple-double, and you lose? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, at least for the Yankees, they're still very much alive in the wild card hunt, and that's really, you know, what looks like the best case scenario for them when it's sense of playoff hunt. I think that if they get in and get hot, they could be scary, but it's all about getting to the dance. You gotta, if you want to really take the girl out, you gotta at least get to the dance, and the Yankees just gotta make sure that they win these games, because like I said, Boston's on a slide. Tampa Bay, they're playing each other, so you could capitalize and sneak a game in there, and then you blow a game like that late, Sander. Who knows? I do think that they will bounce back tomorrow on Sunday and win the series against Chicago. But this one stung. It definitely sucked because you could have made history with the Yankees. So if they would have, the narrative would have been, oh, Yankees win the first Field of Dreams game, back-to-back home runs by Stanton and Judge, and that would have been the craziest headline in New York. But instead, Yankees blow lead and late in the ninth, Chicago wins it, walk-off. Terrible.
And the thing is, too, Jay, and it sucks that I'm saying this because I want to have belief in my team. I want to have faith in my team, okay? Yeah. But I can straight up say with a straight face, Jay, the Yankees could go ahead and get first place and be the number one team in the AL East. And I still think they wouldn't be a threat to anybody in the playoffs. And yeah, that's sad.
I and you, because if we were to pull that off right now, that means that we would have to go on that stretch that Joe talked about even better. So I ain't going to side you on that one. Nonetheless, that will be a dream scenario, but I don't see that happening. But it's okay. Well, let's transition to the NBA standard because Kawhi Leonard got his money, and he is staying in L.A., my dude. He signed a four-year contract worth $176 million. And every time I talk about these contracts, and I always think, dang, where am I wrong with this money stuff, man? I need – give me 10%, Kawhi. Just give me 10%. But nonetheless, the Clippers made that commitment, and he loves in L.A. He's an L.A. kid, so he's very proud to be home. And last time we saw Kawhi Leonard, Sander, he was balling out. He really was. It wasn't until that injury that really stunted the Clippers' finals chances because they were looking real good. But that leaves the question. He got four more years. Or matter of fact, call it 3 years because he's not even going to play next year because he got the torn ACL. So you're really just getting Kawhi Leonard for 3 years. But nonetheless, he's an impactful player. We know what he does in this league. You think that he'll get a championship with the Clippers in the next 3 years? Or will they regret signing him?
I don't think either is true, Jay. I really don't because – I still think that the Clippers may need a little bit more to win a championship, even though I, out of the two options, regret signing him, I don't think that's possible. Because, Jay, let's just say they don't win a championship in the amount of their contract. They still can't regret signing him because who else is going to be there? What, Paul George? No, Kawhi Leonard is a top 10 player in the league at worst, okay? And he's a box office guy. He's the only guy that will give the Clippers some relevancy in the city of L.A. Guess what? The Lakers ever fall off? I mean, who went further in the playoffs last season? Was it the Lakers or was it the Clippers? It was the Clippers. And that man is the reason why. Yes, Paul George had a stretch where he became PG-13 for a little while. But Kawhi Leonard was the reason why the Clippers were where they were. This is the man that's going to keep them relevant, Jay, regardless of whether they win a championship or not. There's no way in hell the Clippers can regret signing a man like Kawhi Leonard because the fact that he even wanted to come to L.A. and you guys weren't the first option, the only reason why you guys were an option was because, quite frankly, Kawhi wanted to be on his own squad. I don't think he really wanted to play with LeBron. So you guys were lucky that LeBron was on the Lakers and not the Clippers because Kawhi would have went to the Lakers. But that being said, Jay, I still think that the Clippers might not win a championship within this contract. Albeit the talent that they have, the Lakers are coming back, Warriors are coming back, Utah's still there. So they still have a gauntlet to go through to get to a championship. And if they're going to get to a championship, they got the big dogs in Brooklyn and Giannis in Milwaukee to try and go through. And that's no walk in the park. So I don't think either is true in this situation, Jay, because there's no way. If you're a Clippers fan and you go through this contract and you're like, man, we should have never signed Paul George. We should have never signed Kawhi Leonard. Well, I'm going to ask you one damn question. Who the hell else were you going to bring? Who? Chris Paul? Offer him $80 million and maybe come back? Who were you going to try and bring to the Clippers? Not a damn soul. Because the Clippers, for as long as you and I can remember, up until recently when Chris Paul got there with Blake Griffin and Lob City, what the hell were the Clippers known for? Being the JV team in the NBA to the Lakers. The Clippers, I always thought, were like a G League team at best. And all the people say it when they go to their games, it's like a high school game compared to the Lake Show. So having Kawhi, even if it's getting to a Western Conference Finals and not sniffing championships, dude, there's no one else that you could have bring that's gonna do what Kawhi and is gonna do. So shit, dude, if I can have a talent like Kawhi on Miami, and we could go to a few Eastern Conference Finals and maybe not win a championship, but at least make the team respectable. Because with Kawhi Leonard on that Clippers team, the Clippers are respectable. They are looked at as a threat. The Lakers circle those games now. Back then, they would circle those games. Oh, that's a dub. Oh, that's a dub. Back when Kobe was playing, those were dubs, okay? But now, with Kawhi, and may I say Paul George, because he deserves the respect to be called Paul George, okay? With Kawhi and Paul George and that surrounding squad, they are respectable. Without Kawhi, they will not get to maybe the first out of the first round. They'll maybe be a playoff team because Paul George and that surrounding cast is good enough to get to the playoff. But you think they're going to make that run that they made without Kawhi? You smoking silly. You smoking silly, okay? Jay, two things can be wrong. Just two things can be right. And I feel like both those things are wrong because I don't think they'll win a championship, but there's no way in hell Clippers fans or anybody can regret signing Kawhi.
You know, I kind of agree with a lot of what you said, but for some reason, I feel like the Clippers winning a championship in these last 3 years is not out of the realm of possibility, because I would have given them a really fair chance against the Phoenix Suns the way they were playing against them. Sure, they were down too early, too low, but they went back to Staples Center and they dominated game three. And then that's when Kawhi got hurt in game four. And then boom. I mean, no, he got hurt in the previous season. Nonetheless, Paul George was the one that carried that team. I digress. Kawhi was phenomenal when he was playing. I feel like nonetheless they got past Utah without him, and I feel like they would have put up a really good fight against the Suns in that series. I think that could have been a more of a coin flip if they would have played, and I would give the Clippers a fair chance, either the Nets, Milwaukee, whoever it is that you mentioned. It wouldn't be a cakewalk, but I still think that the Clippers could compete, because sometimes you just need things to go your way. And listen, you're right. The Lakers are the star show in LA. And it is nice to at least be a little relevant, knowing that you do have, you know, it's like the Yankees and the Mets. You know, you'll never be the Yankees if you're a Met. But if you're Jacob DeGrom, you're kind of cool. You're kind of cool in New York. And that's what Kawhi Leonard is. He's a cool guy in LA because he's the guy for the other team who's the star. And that's good for him. And like I mentioned in the reading, he's an LA kid. So obviously, I think he grew up being a Lakers fan. But selling to be a Clipper in real life is not too bad. You know, I still wonder, Sander, what would have been if he really would have teamed up with LeBron, AD? Like, what would have been in history?
Not one, not two, not three, not four.
But I'm not really confident about that, because as much as I like Kawhi Leonard, he's shown that he doesn't really have the pain threshold to withstand injuries that he usually always gets. He's always injured at some point, and that's really the biggest flaw in him. And this year we saw LeBron and AD go down, and then Kawhi did too. So the Lakers would have really been hit this year if that would have been the assembled team, Sander.
Well, I'm going based on when the rumors started, you know, if Kawhi then would have joined the Lakers.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? A different story to Kawhi now joining the Lakers. But
yeah, we're talking about Kawhi out of Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, a fresh out of Toronto, wanting to go somewhere. That would have been a different story, because how I touch on the Russell Westbrook thing playing with LeBron, I think that's just general. When guys play with LeBron, it's different. Okay, like it's just different. Like, you see the professionalism in him and the way he takes care of his body. I know he's been hurt the past few seasons, but the man is 36. 36!
I'm 36. Yeah.
Okay, but still, him being that age and keep continuing to be in his prime, albeit the downside of his prime, you know, people look up to him. It's different playing with LeBron, okay? It's different. So I just think that Kawhi Leonard right now is in a situation where he's fine. He's a made man. If this was Kawhi coming out of San Antonio, oh, you better believe it's you got to win another championship. But this man was in San Antonio, went to a few finals, won one, MVP of one. Went to Toronto, went to a final, won it, MVP of that one. He's made. There's really no pressure on him.
So you think that if the Clippers don't win a championship, Kawhi, there's no regrets?
There can't be, because I guarantee you.
All this Kawhi Town stuff, and listen, you don't want to trip? Listen, you know how embarrassing that is?
Listen, because guess what? The Clippers have won a championship win, and they've still the Clippers.
But that's why you bought him here.
Check this out. 100%.
Was that you not the him here?
But you can't get mad at him if he's taking you to the Western Conference Finals, okay? And you guys so happen to lose to the better team. Now,
no, this is about the finals, Sander. We're talking about what? A made man. This guy's supposed to take.
Made man.
Listen, when you get to a new team, what you did before don't matter. This is the reason why they grabbed him. We're like, yo, let's bring it to the LA. We're going to pair you with Paul George. You're supposed to win the final. Listen, you're talking about. Listen, that's like, oh, yeah, no, I guarantee. That's like a good. Oh, I'm going to let you smash. And then you don't smash, boy. Come on. You're the Clippers. You got to take it for a sucker.
I understand that the end game, the goal is to win a championship, Jay. But for organizations like the Clippers that have been playing second fiddle, guess what? A championship doesn't make a difference to their history right now. Because guess what? Even if they win one, 15 minutes is going to pass and LA's going to forget about it.
You say that as a casual Clipper fan. Do you know who the owner of the Clippers is? Do you think that he thinks like a Clipper fan? He does not think like a Clippers fan. He thinks like Steve Ballmer. He wants to win.
Yeah, no. Steve Ballmer wants money. So no, if Kawhi's going to bring seats.
Sander, I don't play Madden franchise to come in second place.
Of course he wants to win. Of course he wants to win, Jay. But guess what? They know what they were getting with Kawhi. They weren't getting that dog that's going to rally up the troops and going to – no, this isn't the dog that came out of San Antonio. You guys got a dude that
won a championship in Toronto. That's better than the guy in San Antonio. What are you talking about?
When he won the championship in Toronto, at that point, he knew whatever I do in my career after this is just a cherry on top. I don't got to work as hard as anymore. Why do you think they do load management for him? Because he doesn't give a hell anymore.
But why do they do it? Because of what's the promise? We'll let you load manage if
you can get us to the finals. But guess
thank
what?
Thank you, and that's not if happening.
But if they don't win it, you still can't be mad at him.
Yes, you can, because you got told a false promise. You're being emotional about this. I'm being corporate America. I'm paying you to bring me to the finals. I don't throw away $40 million to come to the Western Conference Finals. No, I pay Paul George millions. I pay Kawhi Leonard millions. I bring Reggie Jackson for millions. Rondo, Markieff, all these guys. I'm trying to compete with the Lakers. I'm trying to be the show in L.A. Frick this whole being relevant. I'm Steve Ballmer. I'm trying to win a championship. This whole coming second and this lackadaisical thing does not exist, Sander. You have to win a championship, especially when you take the guy, the Kawhi Town. You make this big statement just to come second place. That's a regret signing this guy.
So you'll regret signing. You would regret signing Kawhi Leonard. If they don't win a championship,
because I'm the same guy with or without him, regardless. I signed him to make me.
You're not the same guy with or without him. Standard.
Before Kawhi Leonard, I had zero rings. After Kawhi Leonard, I got zero rings. What's the difference? I sold more jerseys.
What?
It's still the same history.
JJ, there's a big difference between having Kawhi, who gives you a chance to win the finals,
zero. The end result is still
not zero. Jay, it's not zero, because you literally just said you would have gave him a big chance of beating Phoenix if Kawhi played that series. And guess what? I think if they would have played Milwaukee, a guy in Giannis who he sunned in Toronto. Dude, the Clippers could have easily won the finals this season. Why? Because of Kawhi. So don't tell me that they're in the same spot with or without Kawhi. Because, at the end of the season, they may not have a championship. But the fact that who was competing for it, the Clippers, that's that alone. That's all the Clippers really want right now, to at least sniff a finals. Okay,
no, because they never even went to a Western Conference Finals before this season. And you don't think that's making Steve Ballmer even hungrier? You don't think that his appetite is growing? So that's exactly what I'm saying.
I hear you, bro.
Listen, when it came to the question,
signing him.
Listen, when it comes to the question, I think that the Clippers have a bigger chance of actually winning the championship than they do regret signing him. That's my answer. But I'm saying if you do sign him and nothing comes out of it, and let's just say, listen, we don't have him for this whole year. So that's 40 mil out the window. But you're keeping him. He's basically like a keeper league guy. You kept your keeper league person essentially for a season. But if he doesn't get it done, I get it. He's a power factor, but he's not a prime 31, 32. He's an old 31, 32. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. Kawhi's just a weird dude.
But he's definitely a weird guy. But again, Jay, if the Clippers get, because they just reached the Western Conference Finals last season in the entire history of the organization. It's baby steps.
That's what I'm saying. They have a chance of winning a championship. They had
Kawhi Leonard last season, and they didn't get to the finals. So it's like it's basically saying, Jay, the fact that they're this relevant, that's I know moral victories off of minor league coaches. I get that.
And that's my corporate America talking. That doesn't matter to me.
I hear you, bro. But for 40 years, the Clippers have been corporate, and they haven't gotten nowhere. So the fact that they got this far already, let it keep on building, Jay. It's baby steps. They just got to the Western Conference Finals. Maybe next season they might take that next step. Well, really, not really, because Kawhi's going to be out next season due to injury. So guess what, Jay? You still have to wait. You still have to wait.
That's true. I'm just saying, like, you got a guy that can't stay on the court. I get it. There's nobody on the market out there, but the thing is, you're taking away the opportunity of a person that could present to you a good opportunity, and you're risking it on a guy that could or could not be on the court for you on clutch times, but we'll see. Nonetheless, I do hope that Kawhi does make it time for at least to play in the playoffs if the Clippers don't make it to the playoffs next year, because Kawhi is an interesting guy, and I actually do like seeing him on the court. He's a cool guy to see.
Yeah, he's good.
But
he's
standard, good it is Friday. Yeah, it is Friday, so you know we do got to touch up on our Blazer predictions. Brought to you by Rocket Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends from the Clover Press Media Group sent you, especially the boys from the Stir the Pot crew, because, you know, we got your back, girl. But, Sander,
Yes. Weekend
time, what you got for me?
Yeah, well, first of all, stop going to your aunties and your uncles to do your taxes. Go see our people at Rocky Hill Accountants because they're legit. But to my blazing prediction, you know what, bro? I ain't really like how FC Barcelona handled the whole situation with Messi, bro. I ain't like how they did my boy, bro. So guess what? I'm going to put it into existence. I'm going to start the curse of Messi, okay? Because this wasn't a man that was being greedy. This wasn't a man that was being selfish. This was a man that was willing to present, that was willing to take 50%, take half, not a third, half of the contract, okay? And I'll stay with you guys, but they ain't want him. They ain't want him, Jay. So you know what's going to happen now? I feel like the curse of Messi is going to begin, and it's going to start Sunday, and they're going to lose, and they're going to lose bad. I don't know about how many, but I know it's going to be zero to something because they're not going to score.
They're not scoring,
okay? They're not going to damn score, okay? And when I say the curse of Messi is going to begin, yeah, they might win a few matches, but as far as winning a championship, Barcelona, get ready for a nice 30-year drought. And I'm going to put it into existence. 30 years. Mark my word. It begins on Sunday. The curse of Messi.
I'm going to keep track of this because if you really spoke something to existence, that'd be amazing. But yeah, man, whenever a team lets go of a superstar like him, definitely takes some time to come back. And hey, you want Skittles on a nil? You think they'll get shut out? I'll give them one.
Yeah, go ahead. We could bet Skittles. Call me Nostradamus, baby. Nostra Sunday.
Yeah. Well, Sander, I got a prediction for you, too, and I'm very excited because I don't even have to predict or even dream about football on a Sunday because I'm going to have football on a Sunday, and I'm so excited. And that number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, there's been a lot of controversy whether him or Gardner Minshew are going to start. And listen, you don't draft the guy number one overall not to start the guy. But I respect Urban Meyer, you know, being modest and saying, listen, it's a quarterback competition. Minshew's been good in this league and has definitely surprised some guys. But listen, Trevor Lawrence has been spoken about being the number one overall since he was like 12. So, yeah, obviously you're going to go with that guy. But I think that he's going to put all that controversy to bed in his first start as an NFL player, and he's going to throw a touchdown. I think he's going to go out there, look good doing a sander against the Browns. The Browns on that first offensive unit do have some guys, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Joe Johnson. It's a good group of guys, and this Cleveland Browns team is actually an AFC championship contender to a lot of the betting favorites. But I think that Trevor Lawrence will go out there, look comfortable, throw a touchdown on his debut.
Listen, man, I don't really have much of a prediction for Sunshine, okay? But I will say this.
Sunshine.
Keyshawn Johnson said something the other day on sports radio in the morning. And he said, I hope he doesn't have more shampoo commercials than wins in the NFL. Because with that hair, JJ, just know that the Head and Shoulders shampoo commercials are coming. Okay? Brace yourself.
You know what I've noticed? I'm glad you said that because I've noticed, right? And I was the Sunshine guy. You was the Trey Lance guy. Justin Fields guy. I was the Sunshine guy of the group. You know what I mean? So I'm going to rock Trevor to the end. That's my guy. But you just mentioned the Head and Shoulders. Troy Polamalu is a Super Bowl champion. Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl champion. Maybe Trevor Lawrence. Never know. We'll see in the future. But I'm very excited. I just hear that he has to be a Jaguar when I'm a Colt fan, and it just breaks my heart. But nonetheless, I'm very excited to see him actually as an NFL player finally on the field. I can't wait, Sander.
Yeah, well, you have a tendency, like Jose said earlier today, you have a tendency of loving your rivals. So,
I love talent. What can I say? I love sports. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at Pot Sports and on Twitch TV / Clover Crest Media Group. Also, check out the website at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports and give us a listening to on Spotify or Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports, and Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. Sander, first Sunday NFL football. I'm so excited.
Yes, yes, man. It's been a long time coming. I'm excited to see my Cowboys lose every year that they actually have every season. So, yes.
I believe you guys have Arizona, correct? I believe you guys got the Cardinals.
In the preseason? Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about the preseason, man.
Oh, you're worried about week one where you guys got Buccaneers?
Yeah. No, I'm not even worried about week one. I'm worried about week two.
That's when the real season starts. Nonetheless, guys, we'll see you on Monday. My brother, Sander Sanchez. We'll see you guys.